you're excited to be here today to do the same. Our God is good. He loves us. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen? Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we began a study on the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the longest sermon we have of Jesus preserved for us in the Holy Script. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And the Sermon on the Mount, we have often said, begins with the Beatitudes. Well, what is a Beatitude? A Beatitude is one of eight sayings, declarations of conditional blessedness spoken by Jesus at the beginning of the sermon. We also said that the Beatitudes are paradoxical. Well, what does that mean? Well, paradox means self-contradictory. The conditions given do not seem to match the outcome. For example, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Happy are the sad? Does that not seem self-contradictory in nature? The way to happiness is through mourning. The way to being glad and have a joyful life is through sadness. I want us to notice this morning, as we continue our study, what did Jesus mean? And I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's read the first four verses. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now let's ask, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted"? Well, to understand what Jesus is saying, let us know the meaning of mourning. Certain kinds of sorrow are common to all mankind. Some are legitimate, that is, some fall within the boundary set by God for the way we mourn, and some are illegitimate, that do not fall within the boundaries that God has set forth. As we notice this morning, what type of mourning is Jesus referring to in our text? Is he speaking of improper mourning? What is improper mourning? Well, it misses the purpose, the hope, and the trust that God intended for sorrow. Scriptures do not tell us not to mourn, because remember at the death of Lazarus, Jesus mourned. John 11:35, shortest verse in the New Testament Bible, is Jesus wept. Well, what is improper mourning? Mourning over sinful things, because we can't have them. Mourning to such a point that we can no longer function? Are there biblical examples of improper mourning? Do you remember King David's son Abnon? He desired his sister Tamar. He desired to have her sexually to such a point that he made himself ill. He was mourning over her. It says she was a virgin and he couldn't do anything to her. And he was mourning over not getting to fulfill his sinful passion. That is improper mourning. Is there another example of improper mourning? Well, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Now, we're going to begin in verse 31, but let me set the context. You remember Absalom, King David's son, how wicked he was. And he rose up against King David. And he developed an army. And he went to pursue David. And David and all of his household and servants and everybody fled out of the temple, out of the city of Jerusalem, and crossed over Jordan. Well, then Absalom sent his army to go destroy King David and everyone. And David sent his men to fight Absalom's men. But before they left, David told them, "Do not let any harm come to Absalom." Well, the battle has occurred. There's victory for David's men. And they send men from battle to go tell King David what occurred. Let's begin reading in verse 31. "And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, 'Good news for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all who rose up against you.' The king said to the Cushite, 'Is it well with the young man Absalom?' And the Cushite answered, 'May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man.' He told him he was killed. And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son.' It was told Joab, 'Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom.' So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. For the people heard that day, 'The king is grieving for his son.' And the people stole into the city that day as people steal in who were ashamed when they fled in battle. The king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, 'Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" King David is grieving over Absalom because his wicked son got killed. He has sent his army, all of his men, out to fight against them to protect David and his family, to throw down this rebellion, and they were victorious. But when David heard his son got killed, he went into great mourning to such a point that the people were ashamed and snuck back into the city. Look what Joab said in verses 5 and 6. It says, "Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, 'You have today covered with shame the faces of all your servants who this day saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters and the lives of your wives and your concubines, because you love those who hate you and hate those who love you. For you have made it clear today that commanders and servants are nothing to you. For today I know that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead, then you'd be pleased. Now therefore arise, go out and speak kindly to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go, not a man will stay with you this night. And this will be worse for you than all the evil that has come upon you from your youth until now.'" Absalom told him, "All your people are ashamed because you're grieving over your son, and you've brought shame upon them. And you better stop and go down to the gate and welcome the people. Otherwise, they will all flee away from you." Improper mourning. Mourning over his sinful, wicked son because judgment had occurred and Absalom got what he received. Mourning improper because it was bringing the shame to the people who had fought so valiantly for him. So we know, when we talk about blessed are those who mourn, that there is such a thing as improper mourning. Well, then what is Jesus referring to? Is Jesus referring to proper mourning? Well, what is proper mourning? It's mourning designed by God, a mourning that is acceptable to Him. Well, give me an example. Well, what about Abraham mourning over the death of Sarah, his wife, Genesis 23. That's a form of proper mourning. Mourning over a loved one. Well, as we talk about godly mourning, and what are proper mourning, and what is acceptable and what is not, do you remember that David mourned because he was lonely for God? Do you remember David saying in Psalm 42, verses 1 through 3. As the deer pants, next slide please, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? David was mourning because he didn't feel God's presence. Proper mourning. Mourning to be back with God. But let me stop right here and tell you something. Improper mourning, proper mourning, have nothing to do with the type of mourning Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, when he says, blessed are those who mourn. Then what type of mourning is Jesus referring? Jesus is referring to godly mourning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, Paul addresses two types of mourning. He says, for godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, which brings no regret. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Or for godly mourning produces repentance to salvation, whereas ungodly mourning of the world leads to death. Godly mourning, to what is Paul referring? He says it produces repentance. It's mourning over sin. I'm mourning over the sin in my life. And that will lead me to repentance, which will ensure my salvation as I walk after God daily. Well, then what is sorrow of the world? You're just sorry because you got caught. Many people live in sin, and once they get caught, all of a sudden they have tremendous sorrow. Just because they got caught, because if they'd never been caught, they would have kept participating in it. Jesus is talking about godly mourning. The Beatitudes start off, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is, blessed are those who realize how destitute they are apart from God. Blessed are those who realize that while they're in sin, they're apart from God. And when we're destitute and realize our situation apart from God, then that should lead us to mourn over our sin and our separation from God. Do you remember David's repentance in Psalm 51? What about Job's repentance? Well, the book of Job begins, well, David said, back up, I'm sorry, I skipped it. David said in Psalm 51, 3 and 4, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. David said, against God, against you, you only have I sinned. But David sinned against Bathsheba. He lusted after her. He committed adultery with her. David sinned against Uriah. He put him in a situation so Uriah be killed. So David had Uriah murdered. But when David felt the depth of his guilt in violating the commandments of God, when David felt the weight of his sin, he said, against you, you only, have I transgressed, and my sin is ever before me. Then what about Job? Job is introduced to us as an upright man, one who feared God and turned away from evil. And remember, God permitted Satan to take everything he had from him except his wife. And then his friends come, they accuse him, the only reason you're suffering is so because you're wicked and you just need to repent. And throughout the book of Psalms, Job gets more bold or gets bolder about being innocent. And he gets to the point, he says, if God were to appear in court with me today, I would defend my innocence before him. Do you remember God spoke to Job and put Job basically in his place? And do you remember how Job responded? Job said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. when Job realized how holy God was and how sinful he had become in boasting and lifting himself up, he repented in dust and ashes. Such depth of mourning. Blessed are those who mourn. That is, those who mourn over their sins. Now, before we leave meaning of the word mourning, I found it interesting. There are 9 words in the Greek New Testament for sorrow. And blessed are those who mourn. That Greek word is the most intense sorrow, the deepest level of sorrow. Let me give you an example of how deep that level of sorrow is. Do you remember when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery? And they took his coat of many colors and killed a goat and dipped it in the blood and took that bloody garment back to Jacob, their father. And they let Jacob assume that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. And it says that Jacob mourned so deeply that he could not be consoled. Mourning so deeply that he could not be comforted. Well, Jesus says, when we mourn that deeply over our sin, that is godly mourning. So, what is the result of mourning? To understand what Jesus is saying, let us notice the result of mourning. Happiness does not come in the mourning itself. Happiness comes in how God responds to our mourning when we repent of our sin. Godly mourning brings God's forgiveness, which results in God's happiness. The happiness comes when we repent of sin and we realize we're forgiven. And thus, we are filled with joy because we know that we are right with God. It's not merely a psychological or an emotional release that brings us joy. It's knowing that we're in communion with God and He has forgiven us. Only those who mourn over their sins are happy because they receive forgiveness of their sin. Let me move on. The result of godly mourning is what? It's comfort. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It says God will comfort us. We were also given God's word to comfort us. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans 15:4? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Or what about what Paul told the Thessalonian Christians when they were grieving because their loved ones had died who were in Christ and they were so afraid they'd miss His second coming? Remember, Paul told them that they would not miss this glorious day of His second coming, but they would rise first to meet Jesus in the air. And then he said, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. So the result of godly mourning is comfort. Well, let's ask, how do we mourn? To understand what Jesus is saying, let's notice. What does mourning over sin involve? Well, first, it involves removing the hindrances that keep us from repenting. Things in our lives. We have our sin, we don't want to give it up because it brings us pleasure. And our desire for that pleasure hinders us from repenting. Our enjoyment of that pleasure and staying in it hardens our hearts. We must move the hindrances that keep us from responding to God's call to repent of our sins. Well, as we talk about how to mourn, let me suggest 3 ways. First, we need to look at the holiness of God. The holiness of God. God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. When I want to live in my sin instead of striving to be holy like God is, when I want to live in my sin instead of living a life that reveals God's holiness, then I have a problem. And I'm not mourning the way I should be mourning. So when we look at the cross and we see Jesus hanging there with his blood slowly seeping out of his body, nails in each hand, nails in his feet, a crown of thorn pressed down on his head, blood running down his face and in his hair, blood running down his back from being scourged. That's the type of God we serve, one who loves us so much that he let his son go to the cross just so we'd have the opportunity to be redeemed by his blood. So we need to look at the holiness of God. Second way, we need to study sin in Scripture. When we go to the Scriptures and read about sin, we see how appalling it is to God. We see how God reacts. We see how evil sin is and how repulsive it is to our Heavenly Father. So we need to be aware of how sin affects our God. And next, we need to pray with a contrite heart. We need to pray with all humility for forgiveness when we sin. So, how do we know if we're mourning the way Christ commands? How do I know if I'm mourning with godly mourning? Well, first I have to ask myself, am I sensitive to sin? Well, what do I mean, am I sensitive to sin? Do I laugh at it? Do I relish in the pleasure it brings? Do I take it as just something I do? Then I'm not sensitive to it. When sin affects the way I feel because of what I have done to God, are there biblical examples of someone who was not mourning the way God desired? Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God sent King Saul to destroy the Amalekites and everything they had. They go off to battle. King Saul comes back rejoicing, and Samuel the prophet goes out and says, "What meaneth the lowing and bleeding of the animals that I hear? You were supposed to destroy everything." King Saul said, "We did everything God has commanded." Samuel said, "No, you didn't." He said, "Well, we saved the best of the animals to sacrifice to God." And because King Saul did not obey the commandment of God, Samuel told him, "God has ripped the kingdom from you this day. We'll take it from you." Well, how did King Saul respond? Oh, he was sorry he was disobeyed, but he wasn't repentant. Well, look down at verse 30. This is Saul's response. Then he said, "I have sinned. Yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I might bow before the Lord your God." What was Saul more concerned about that day? It was his reputation and how he would appear before the children of Israel. He says, "Oh, I sinned, but now turn and honor me before all the people." He was more concerned about himself than his disobedience to God. Are we that way? More concerned about our reputation than doing as God commands? Have you ever not responded to the gospel because you said, "I don't want everybody to know I sinned. I don't want everybody to know I failed and yielded to the lust of my heart. I don't want to respond and have all of them looking down their noses at me. I just won't have it." We're more concerned about what people will think than what God thinks. We're more concerned about what people think than I am about my life being right with God. So, I'm concerned about my reputation and what people will think of me instead of being concerned about God and making my life right with Him. Godly mourners' first concern will be how the harm his sin does against God's glory. I'm sorrowing over my sin because I've disobeyed the commandments of God, and I know it hurts Him when I fall away. As I strive to walk after God, as I strive to do His will, we see people in Scripture who grieved over sin. Do you remember Jeremiah? When Jeremiah said, "Oh, that my heads were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears." Godly mourners will also grieve over the sins of other Christians and for the sins of the world. Jeremiah grieved over the sins of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Next slide, please. Do you remember him saying, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people"? Jeremiah was weeping over the sins of Israel and the coming judgment he knew that God was about to issue down upon them. Or what about Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem when he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Or what about the Apostle Paul when he said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them," that is the Jews, "is that they might be saved." He said the Jews had zeal, but not according to knowledge. His desire was for them all to turn to Christ and believe and obey and be saved. Mourning over the sins of others. Our first question we asked, how do we know if we're mourning according to the way Christ commands was, I have to ask, am I sensitive to sin? The next one is, to determine if we have genuine mourning over sin, is that we feel the relief of forgiveness. Have you ever felt relief after you repented of sin and believed that God forgave you? Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When I repent of my sin and experience the relief of knowing my God has forgiven me. The psalmist said, shh. The psalmist said, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of glory, bringing his sheaves with him." Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of glory. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Maybe you need to sow some tears today. Maybe you need to respond and seek God's forgiveness for things that are wrong in your life. Maybe you're finally ready to obey the gospel by putting Christ on in baptism. We have water ready, a garment you can change into. You can be fully immersed, have your sins washed away, to arise and walk in newness of life. If you need to mourn before God this morning, if you need to bring anything before Him, if you need to bring anything before the congregation, we encourage you to respond to the front as we stand and sing.